I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is January 22nd, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, ultra-conservative crap. Someone who had received a couple of unsolicited emails forwarded them to me and asked me to reply to the claims made in them. The originator of the emails was obviously a simpleton. The first email begins, "Short newspaper editorial, worth reading! ! No, Simple, it wasn't an editorial. It was a letter to the editor. Editorials are written by journalists. Letters to the editor can be written by anyone. And Simple, one exclamation point is enough. This isn't Facebook." His email was written by Ken Huber of Tawas City, and it begins, "Has America become the land of the special interest and home of the double standard? Huber, what do you mean by has America become? Can you name a time in history when those things didn't exist? In any country? At any time in history? No, you can't. Because special interests and double standards have always been with us and likely always will be." Huber's article continues, "Let's see. If we lie to the Congress, it's a felony. And if the Congress lies to us, it's just politics." Huber, as much as I hate to admit it, I have to agree with you on that one. Unfortunately, if we booted out all the lying congressmen, Washington would be a ghost town. And Huber, the phrase, "let's see," should have an apostrophe. And so should the word "it's." What is it with you Christians and grammar? Have faith in me on this one, Huber. If you break open a dictionary once in a while, you won't catch leprosy. Huber continues, "If we dislike a black person, we're racist." Huber, that depends on why you dislike the black person. He said, "And if a black dislikes whites, it's their First Amendment right." Huber, it's everyone's First Amendment right to dislike whomever they choose. However, as just pointed out, whether or not it's racist depends on why you dislike the person. Huber, if you want to complain about special privileges for blacks, you would have a far stronger position if you attacked affirmative action rather than making ignorant statements like the one you just made. Huber said, "The government spends millions to rehabilitate criminals, and they do almost nothing for the victims." Huber, once again, I'm forced to agree with you. I, too, would like to see our laws provide greater compensation for victims at the expense of the guilty. Now, Huber says, "In public schools, you can teach that homosexuality is okay." Huber, so you're saying it isn't? Can you give us a reason why it isn't? Can you give us a reason why it is any of your business? Huber had said, "In public schools, you can teach that homosexuality is okay." And now he adds, "But you better not use the word God in the process." Huber, that's because God made his feelings about homosexuality very clear. They are to be executed. By stoning, to be specific. Ah, the good old days. If only you had lived then, huh, Huber? You could have lined up those little queers and then pelted them with rocks until their heads split open. Or, if you lived in America only a few hundred years ago, you could have danced around a burning witch with the rest of your Christian friends, while some poor innocent woman died a horrible death. It's easy to see why your God is loved by so many. What other religion allows you to have so much fun? Now, Huber said, "You can kill an unborn child." Huber, your God kills 50 million unborn children every year by miscarriage. In your Bible, God had his goons rip the fetuses out of pregnant women. But you don't have a problem with any of that, do you? Of course you don't. Abortion is fine with you as long as the orders come from the spirit world and the mother is murdered along with the fetus. Huber said, "But it's wrong to execute a mass murder." Huber, haven't you ever been to Texas? They'll execute you over a parking ticket. And Huber, the apostrophe. Huber said, "We don't burn books in America. We now rewrite them." Huber, as a Christian, you are an expert on that. How many different versions of the Bible are there now? Dozens? Just a quick question, Huber. Which is the one that God inspired? That's right, Huber. Whichever one you are currently using. Now, Huber says, we got rid of the communist and socialist threat by renaming them progressives. Huber, you shouldn't talk about Jesus that way. He was about as socialistic as anyone could ever be. Another quick question, Huber. How come, no matter where on earth you go, the people most unlike Christ are Christians? Huber said, we are unable to close our border with Mexico, but have no problem protecting the 38th parallel in Korea. Huber, since no one has ever been able to successfully stop the flow of illegal immigration from Mexico, what makes you think you have the answer? And the 38th parallel in Korea is protected by many nations, Huber, of which we are just one. Huber said, if you protest against President Obama's policies, you're a terrorist. Huber, Republican lawmakers protest his policies every day. Can you name one who has been called a terrorist? No, you can't. And why didn't you use President Bush as an example instead of Obama? It's because those who protested against Bush's policies were terrorists, weren't they, Huber? Huber said, but if you burned an American flag or George Bush in effigy, it was your First Amendment right. Huber, burning the American flag has been determined by the Supreme Court to be a constitutional right, as is burning anyone in effigy. Both are considered free speech. I'll agree both are very stupid, but our Constitution guarantees everyone the right to be stupid, Huber, you being a prime example. Now, Huber says, you can have pornography on TV or the internet, but you better not put a nativity scene in a public park during Christmas. Huber, Janet Jackson was fined over $500,000 just for a wardrobe malfunction. Yet you just stated that you can have pornography on TV? Strike one, Huber. You want us to believe you're not into pornography? Even if that were true, so what? Then don't watch it. Strike two, Huber. Nativity scenes in churches and on private property are fine. But the First Amendment, which you claim to support, restricts their display by the government, which includes public parks. I can guarantee you, Huber, if it were Muhammad being displayed, you would be at the very front of a crowd of furious Christians running up to them and waving the First Amendment at them. Huber, strike three. Huber said, we have eliminated all criminals in America. They are now called sick people. Huber, then why do we keep them in prisons instead of hospitals? Huber said, we can use a human fetus for medical research, but it's wrong to use an animal. Huber, earlier you called them unborn children. Now you refer to them as human fetuses. That's probably because the research to which you are referring involved dead fetuses. What is the problem you have with doing research on a corpse? And of course it's wrong to use animals for medical research. No one claims that it is right. What they claim is that it is necessary. Learn the difference, Huber. He said, we take money from those who work hard for it and give it to those who don't want to work. Huber, you are referring to social programs that provide for the disabled, the aged, and the unfortunate. To support your argument, you make the erroneous assumption that none of them want to work. While that is true for some, that does not justify cutting assistance to all those in need. You also tried to manipulate the audience by implying that those who are taxed have worked hard for it. While that is true for some, it is not true for all. It all depends on how you define works hard. Huber, I gather that you've never actually dropped a dime into one of those charity jars at KFC, have you? Huber said, we all support the Constitution, but only when it supports our political ideology. Huber, that's real interesting coming from someone who only one page back criticized those who exercised their constitutional rights by doing something that went against your political ideology. It's clear that your accusation is a better description of you than it is of them. He said, we still have freedom of speech, but only if we are being politically correct. Huber, do you consider this letter to be politically correct? Of course not. Otherwise, you wouldn't be complaining about political correctness. Yet not only do you have the freedom to write it, but the Fort Worth Examiner in Texas exercised their freedom of speech by publishing it. So this letter itself refutes your claim. His next pearl of wisdom. Parenting has been replaced with Ritalin and video games. Huber, Ritalin is a medically administered treatment to help children with various problems, including attention deficit syndrome. Video games are diversions, and in some cases, educational diversions. Neither replaces parenting. Huber, do you ever think any of this stuff out before slopping it down on your keyboard? Apparently not. He said, the land of opportunity is now the land of handouts. Huber, rent the documentary, The 1%, and you'll find out why the land of opportunity has become the land of handouts. He said, the similarity between Hurricane Katrina and the Gulf oil spill is that neither president did anything to help. Huber, FEMA is a federal agency tasked to handle disasters. It was dispatched by President Bush after the Louisiana governor originally refused the offer of help. The Gulf oil spill was handled by those responsible, so FEMA was unnecessary. You may argue with how poorly these incidents were managed, but to say that neither president did anything to help is just plain ignorant. No, wait, it's not ignorant. It's dishonest, Huber. Huber said, and how do we handle a major crisis today? The government appoints a committee to determine who's at fault, then threatens them, passes a law, raises our taxes, tells us the problem is solved so they can get back to their re-election campaign. Huber, you really need to take a laxative. Lie down and let your brain deflate as the laxative takes effect. And now Huber concludes, what has happened to the land of the free and the home of the brave? Well, Huber, for one thing, it never existed. The land of the free was filled with millions of slaves for most of its first century, while the brave lie in graves or haunt the halls of the VA, hoping that our country will repay their sacrifice. Instead, Americans like you want to strip them of even the meager pittance upon which they depend. Huber, calling you human is really stretching the definition. Now here is the second email I received. The originator was the same simpleton who forwarded the first one. It begins, this is one of the better emails I have received. It gently explains the difference in thinking between people with opposite outlooks. Actually, simple, it's just typical far-right evangelical propaganda. He continues, a young woman was about to finish her first year in college. Like so many others her age, she considered herself to be very liberal. Simple, it sounds like there may be hope for the next generation after all. No, I'm not a liberal. I just dislike them less than I dislike you. He said, and among other liberal ideals, was very much in favor of higher taxes to support more government programs. In other words, redistribution of wealth. Simple red flag. When people say, in other words, that is a sure sign that they are going to misrepresent what you said or what something means. Regarding redistribution of wealth, have you ever studied how insurance works? Everyone contributes so that when someone suffers a loss, the unfortunate one will be able to survive it. Have you ever studied how societies function? Everyone contributes to fund a military so that when attacked, the nation can defend itself. In a modern world, this requires taxes. Have you ever studied? Never mind. You are more than aware of these things. You are ignoring them because they contradict the point you are trying to push. Simple. Now that you've achieved a comfortable life with a nice pension, you no longer see any personal value in the programs designed to help the less fortunate. So like most selfish, greedy bastards, you are doing everything you can to reduce your responsibility to those in need. You justify your actions by taking the bad examples and trying to convince others that all those in poverty are lazy or immoral. People like you populate both political parties, one more than the other. He continues, she was deeply ashamed that her father was a rather staunch conservative, a feeling she openly expressed. Based on the lectures that she had participated in and the occasional chat with a professor, simple, you chose the words occasional chat to minimize the value of her opinion by making it appear shallow and not too well thought out. He goes on, she felt that her father had for years harbored an evil, selfish desire to keep what he thought should be his. Simple, why would having a desire to keep what was his be evil? It wouldn't be. You inserted that in there in an attempt to manipulate the readers. Come on, Simple, you're making this way too easy. He goes on. One day she was challenging her father on his opposition to higher taxes on the rich and the need for more government programs. The self-professed objectivity proclaimed by her professors had to be the truth, and she indicated so to her father. Simple, you inserted self-professed objectivity to imply that her professors pretended to be objective, but actually weren't. You are one very manipulative little dude, Simple. He continues. He responded by asking how she was doing in school. Taken aback, she answered rather haughtily that she had a 4.0 GPA. Simple, your purpose in using the adjective haughtily was to make her appear arrogant. Can you write anything without trying to manipulate your audience? And now he goes on. And let him know that it was tough to maintain, insisting that she was taking a very difficult course load and was constantly studying, which left her no time to go out and party like other people she knew. She didn't even have time for a boyfriend, and didn't really have many college friends because she spent all her time studying. Simple. Anyone who has ever attended college knows that even the hardest working students can make time for other activities. In fact, it is common for the best students to excel in extracurricular activities. This makes me wonder, Simple, did you ever go to college, even to take a 2-week course in gun cleaning? Simple continues. Her father listened and then asked, how is your friend Audrey doing? She replied, Audrey is barely getting by. All she takes are easy classes. She never studies and she barely has a 2.0 GPA. She is so popular on campus. College for her is a blast. She's always invited to all the parties and lots of times she doesn't even show up for classes because she's too hungover. Simple. If his daughter is studying so much that she doesn't even have time to blow her nose, how did she find the time to learn all these intimate details about every aspect of her friend's life? It sounds to me like maybe she may have had a lover after all, one named Audrey, whom she doesn't want Dad to know about. Simple continues, her wise father asked his daughter, Simple, now see how you describe the conservative? Wise. Remember how you just described the liberal daughter? Haughty. Note for the listeners, that is how a manipulation technique works. The key to spotting when someone is trying to manipulate you is to look closely at the adjectives. Now Simple continues with the father speaking to the daughter. Why don't you go to the dean's office and ask him to deduct 1 point off your GPA and give it to your friend who only has a 2.0? That way you will both have a 3.0 GPA, and certainly that would be fair and equal distribution of GPA. Simple, how did I know you were going to resort to a false analogy? Gee, what a fucking surprise. I never guessed you would come up with an impossible, ridiculous scenario and then try to claim that your analogy was the same thing as supporting higher taxes. I am in shock. I have never seen anyone try this trick before. Yes, listeners, for those of you who didn't get it, that was sarcasm. Simple continues. The daughter, visibly shocked by her father's suggestion, Simple, she probably wasn't so much shocked as she was embarrassed that he would make such a bizarre comparison while sober. Simple continues with the daughter's reply. She angrily fired back, That's a crazy idea. See, Simple? I told you so. Simple continues with the daughter's reply. How would that be fair? I've worked really hard for my grades. I've invested a lot of time and a lot of hard work. Audrey has done next to nothing toward her degree. She played while I worked my tail off. Actually, Simple, it sounded more like, during late-night study sessions, Audrey and his daughter were both working their tails off, under the covers. Simple continues. The father slowly smiled, winked, and said gently, Welcome to the conservative side of the fence. Luke, come over to the dark side and learn the true power of the Force. Simple said, If you ever wondered what side of the fence you sat on, this is a great test. Simple, I'm not on either side. Both irritate me on a regular basis. Your side more than theirs. But I'll go ahead and take your little test. Simple begins. If a conservative doesn't like guns, he doesn't buy one. If a liberal doesn't like guns, he wants all guns outlawed. Simple. Can't say I ever met a conservative who didn't like guns. I like my gun, a 40 caliber Glock with hollow points. Simple said, If a conservative is a vegetarian, he doesn't eat meat. If a liberal is a vegetarian, he wants all meat products banned for everyone. Simple, so you're trying to imply that only liberals attempt to force their beliefs on others? Since most conservatives tend to be evangelicals, you couldn't be further from the truth. Like nearly all religions, it is they who attempt to impose their morals on the rest of society. Simple said, If a conservative is down and out, he thinks about how to better his situation. A liberal wonders who is going to take care of him. Actually, Simple, a liberal is more likely to wonder whom they can help. That thought has never been found in a conservative mind. Okay, I apologize for the generalization, but in general, it's probably true. Simple said, If a conservative doesn't like a talk show host, he switches channels. Liberals demand that those they don't like be shut down. Simple, conservatives don't have to switch channels because they only watch Fox News. Simple said, If a conservative is a non-believer, he doesn't go to church. A liberal non-believer wants any mention of God and Jesus silenced. Simple, you left out the crucial part. Silenced in those cases that are in violation of the First Amendment, the greatest enemy evangelicals have ever known. He continues, If a conservative decides he needs health care, he goes about shopping for it or may choose a job that provides it. A liberal demands that the rest of us pay for his. Simple, where did you get the idea that only conservatives contribute to the healthcare system? Let me guess, Fox News? And he concludes by saying, if a conservative reads this, he'll forward it so his friends can have a good laugh. A liberal will delete it because he's offended. Well, I forwarded it. I did too, Simple, by hitting reply all. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, new bandage spurs and guides blood vessel growth. Researchers have developed a bandage that stimulates and directs blood vessel growth on the surface of a wound. The bandage, called a microvascular stamp, contains living cells that deliver growth factors to damaged tissues in a defined pattern. After a week, the pattern of the stamp is written in the blood vessels. Any kind of tissue you want to rebuild, including bone, muscle, or skin, is highly vascularized. But one of the big challenges in recreating vascular networks is how we can control the growth and spacing of new blood vessels. The ability to pattern functional blood vessels at this scale in living tissue has not been demonstrated before. Other laboratories have embedded growth factors in materials applied to wounds in an effort to direct blood vessel growth. The new approach is the first to incorporate live cells in a stamp. These cells release growth factors in a more sustained, targeted manner than other methods. The stamp is nearly 1 centimeter across and is built of layers of a hydrogel made of polyethylene glycol and methacrylic alginate. The stamp is porous, allowing small molecules to leak through, and contains channels of various sizes to direct the flow of larger molecules, such as growth factors. The researchers tested the stamp on the surface of a chicken embryo. After a week, the stamp was removed, revealing a network of new blood vessels that mirrored the pattern of the channels in the stamp. This is a first demonstration that the blood vessels are controlled by the biomaterials. The researchers see many potential applications for the new stamp, from directing the growth of blood vessels around a blocked artery to increasing the vascularization of tissues with poor blood flow, to normalizing blood vessels that feed a tumor to improve the delivery of anti-cancer drugs. Enhancing the growth of new blood vessels in coordinated pattern after surgery may also reduce recovery time and lessen the amount of scar tissue. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Ernst Mayr, born 1904, died 2005 at the age of 100. Mayr was one of the 20th century's leading evolutionary biologists. He was also a renowned taxonomist, tropical explorer, ornithologist, historian of science, and naturalist. His work contributed to the conceptual revolution that led to the modern evolutionary synthesis of Mendelian genetics, systematics, and Darwinian evolution, and to the development of the biological species concept. Neither Charles Darwin nor anyone else in his time knew the answer to the species problem, which is how multiple species could evolve from a single common ancestor. Ernst Mayr approached the problem with a new definition for the concept of species. In his book, Systematics and the Origin of Species, he wrote that a species is not just a group of morphologically similar individuals, but a group that can breed only among themselves, excluding all others. And I'll insert a note in here that that's not technically true. There are exceptions. But generally, it's true. When populations within a species become isolated by geography, feeding strategy, mate selection, or other means, they may start to differ from other populations through genetic drift and natural selection, and over time may evolve into new species. And now for the quote from Ernst Mayr. There is probably no more original, more complex, and bolder concept in the history of ideas than Darwin's mechanistic explanation of adaptation.
Are you ready, Bruce? Done walking.